sooner that you help me teach, the sooner you'll get to go eat. So, praise the Lord. You may be seated as I get ready. I am aware of the time, and I understand that the mind, I apologize, all of the classes may be dismissed. If you are in youth class, I'm aware of the time and aware that the mind can only handle what the hind end can absorb. So I will try not to keep you too terribly long. And as I, after being contacted by Pastor, I began to seek out the mind of God, because I never want to get behind this pulpit and not have some time with the Lord and not have the mind of God. And so as I began to seek, I felt a teaching spirit come upon me, and I sought the Lord in reference to what He would desire me to teach. And as I was doing studies, this lesson came to fruition. And so I want to teach with all that I can through the Holy Ghost and the power of the Holy Ghost leading me. In a servant's heartbeat. And so, Sister Kristen, as I began to dwell on what is the heartbeat of a servant, and I began to think about the things, the lessons that have been taught on a servant's heartbeat, the podcast that we have, and I have reflected on many of those lessons that were talked about. I began to ask the Lord, Lord, what is the definition of the heartbeat of a servant? What do, as a servant of God, what is my, not just my reasonable service, but what is my reasonable service? What is a key word in everything that I do that helps me sum up what I'm supposed to do in this life? And so this lesson came to fruition last night, late. I've prayed, I've studied on it. And if we will go to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1. And I promise I have a lot of pages, but I am mindful of the time. But 2 Peter chapter 1, obviously talking about Peter. Verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle. He's more than just a servant. He's an apostle. A servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Something that I was looking for. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. God, I want to know more about life and godliness. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Not only do I want to know the things that are of life and godliness, but I do want to be a partaker of his divine nature. And I do desire to escape the corruption in this world. And besides this, giving all diligence, Highlight that in your mind. Giving all diligence. This is important. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. To knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience. And to patience godliness. And to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail, or you never fall. Hallelujah. You may be seated this evening or this morning. So my thought came, Sister Kristen, in reference to the servant's heartbeat. If I could sum it all up in one word through my studies and my prayer time, and I could explain my study in reference to what makes a servant. In one word, I'll say two words: all diligence. That I give all diligence. And so my title today is coming from this, from the studies of my diligence, is your duty to all diligence. And so diligence is necessary for the Christian to maintain a spiritual life. And neglecting of this diligence cripples us spiritually. It cripples our strength. It produces discouragement and ultimately decay. Everything in our life that we do with diligence. Everything that you do when you go to work, you are diligent in your duties as you do whatever you do, and you do it with all your heart. You have to do it with diligence. Brother Riley, when you were building and shaping and remodeling, you had to do it with all diligence. Because if you failed to put a nail where it was supposed to be, then you compromised the whole system. If you failed to even some of the smallest details, if you failed to paint a corner, then in the finished product, it would ultimately not be finished. You failed to do your all diligence. And so in our life spiritually, if I go to work and I begin to replace water lines, right? Because we have a water leak and I don't replace the line correctly, then guess what, Brother Brent? We're going to be back out there in a couple of hours and we have to redo everything we just did all over again. Why? Because I didn't do my all diligence. I didn't complete my full duty and putting my all into it. And if we were to go further into our spiritual lives as a saint of God, if I don't give him my all diligence, I have ultimately failed as a saint of God. If as a sinner coming out of the world seeking something that I have never tasted before, I have to give my all diligence and to find whatever it is that I'm looking for. And when I do find that peace and that restoration of God from the place that I was into the place that he has brought me, if I haven't given my all diligence, there's a slight chance that I'll miss the mark. And so the word diligent means to be hardworking, and industrious. A person's diligence not only will affect his everyday working life, but can also positively impact his spiritual life. It impacts our relationship with God. Due diligence is the workplace, in the workplace is essential. Everything you do in life, you do with your due diligence. As a dad, I do everything I can in my due diligence to keep my home, to put food on my table, to keep a roof over the head. It is all with due diligence. With everything that I have to make sure that my girls sleep at 66 degrees at nighttime. And I know that's controversial, but it is 66 degrees when we go to sleep at night. Right? So, but I have to make sure that the bills are paid in order to do that. The girls got to sleep at their Gigi's this weekend. Guess what? They lost electricity. Guess what Gigi doesn't have? A generator. So within 5 minutes, I have text messages coming through my phone going, Dad, we're miserable. We want to come home. And I was like, no, you can suffer for just a night, right? But I do my due diligence to make sure that my family is taken care of. And if so, in my physical life, what am I doing in my spiritual life to make sure that God is taken care of and that I'm a servant of God, right? A believer should work diligently to develop his relationship with Jesus Christ. Someone observes, you can tell when somebody does their due diligence in a job and when they half-heartedly do it. I can tell. If I go, Brother Riley, I used to put in floors for Lowe's, and I did all kinds of tile work, and I did all kinds of laminate and flooring. And I can tell whenever I walk into a house or to a home or to a business or to an office, I can see the lines in the carpet where the lines butted up to each other. Not really visible to everybody's eye, but I can see it. If you didn't do your due diligence, Brother Jerry, to seam that carpet just right, you're going to be able to see that line all the way through wherever they put it. Again, it's my due diligence. So if I'm going to do that, if I'm going to be diligent in my physical life, I want to be diligent in my spiritual life and living for God. I don't want to live for God half-hearted. I don't want to live for God with a little bit here and a little bit there, and on Sundays I'll get refreshed again, but it should be a refreshing every day. Every day when I wake up, I should put on my due diligence to live for God that day. If that means reaching souls, if that means bringing people the gospel, if that means doing whatever I have to do and whatever God has called me to do, I put 110% into what I'm doing. Saul of Tarsus was focused on destroying the followers of Jesus. In Acts chapter 9, verse 1, he breathed out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. And not only did that, he went to the high priest. He obtained authority from the religious leaders to take decisive action against anyone that he found preaching this new way. If he found any in this way, whether they were men, women, children, it didn't matter, he was to bring them bound to Jerusalem. He was diligent in his pursuit of what he thought he was doing right. Saul was diligent in his desire to stop this growth. The disciples of Jesus Christ, the more they preached, the more Saul desired to take them down. And even though Saul was diligent in what he was doing and he was sincere in his heart, he was sincerely wrong. And like all prospective believers, Saul's diligence was insufficient for salvation. To be saved, he first had to respond to the gospel of the Lord. He thought he was doing right. He knew the word of God and what he had been taught up to that point. He was extremely knowledgeable in the laws of God. And he was diligent in stopping this, whatever it was that had come to fruition in his day. But he was wrong. And one day he had to respond to that wrong. The Lord desires everyone in the world and under the sound of my voice to grow in him and to give them their complete all, their entire heart. Jesus preached in Mark 1:15, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The Lord's going to go through great measures to get our attention. But the choice is ours. To believe or to reject. So one day, while Saul was headed to do his due diligence, he was stopped in his tracks. On the road to Damascus, a bright light shone round about him. And Acts 9:4-5 says, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice in that light saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. So not only did the Lord go out of his way, but I believe the Lord knew the heart of Saul. And he knew how his diligence would come to play if he could ever turn his heart the right way. But if Saul would have said, I don't believe this, I don't think this is real, I'm having a dream, I don't think I'm going to go and do what I'm, I think I'm going to continue on the path of the journey that I'm on. He had that right. God wasn't going to make him. But Saul had to make a choice that very moment. I believe God gives us a path, and there comes a time to make a choice in our lives whether we're going to believe or we're going to reject the interference of God. I've come to tell you that if God ever interferes with the road that you're on, if God ever comes and says, hey, stop, there's something not quite right, it's your due diligence to believe and to make a change. Now you have, God's not going to put a gun to your head. God's not going to say, you have to take this other path. But you're going to have to choose. And whatever path that you choose, do your due diligence. And so it took an act of faith for Saul to believe the voice that he heard was not just a dream. But he acted on that voice. And he surrendered his heart. He surrendered to what the voice said. He was blinded for 3 days. And he said, go to Ananias. And if Paul says, no, I'm not going to believe this. I'm frustrated. I'm irritated. This is not the road that I had to go. This is not what I had planned in my life. This is not what I was going to do. This is not what I had. This was not my retirement plan. Then I believe that Saul would have been blind for the rest of his life. But he acted on faith, knowing that he was, again, due diligence. And he went out of his way, and he went, and he drew near to where Ananias was. And after he responded to the faith that he had. Faith always requires a response. Faith always requires a response. I believe in Jesus. Now how am I going to respond to that? I believe that the Lord came and he died for my sins, but just because I believe that doesn't make me saved. God requires a response. And it's my due diligence and with a surrendered heart that I make that step of, okay, God, I believe you. Now, what am I supposed to do about that belief, about that faith? What are you requiring me to do? And so God says, if you'll draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, preached in Romans chapter 10 and 17. But faith demands that active response. You'll either accept it or you'll reject it. And it'll be by your response. The first steps of faith is not an individual to just yield his heart to the Lord. But Peter declared, men and brethren, know ye not that a good while ago God made a choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe? Believing will only open the heart of the individual to receive the word. But my heart still has to receive it. And so that means I have to, with due diligence, open the word of God. I have to study it. I have to go, okay, God, my heart is open, but now you just pour into me and I'll just sit here. No. He wants you to pursue it with your due diligence. He wants you to go, okay, don't believe what the preacher says behind the pulpit, but open my word and I will show you the things that I have for you. Don't take my word for it. Open the word of God. What does the word of God say? And so then we come to a conversion time in Saul's life, which will require a conversion time in our life. And if a person, and I've seen this before, if a person serves the world, Brother Jess, with all his heart, I'm telling you, he pursues the dance floors, the clubs, the life of this world, drugs, alcohol, abuse, whatever it is that he ends up getting entangled, or she, getting entangled with. And they pursue it with everything. And then one day there comes a conversion. There comes a Paul time in their life. I have seen it and counted it more times than not that upon their conversion, upon their repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and in the filling of the Holy Ghost, Brother Chad, they turn and there's 110% fire for the things of God. There's 110%, like I'm telling you, there is a fire in them, Sister Kristen, that I haven't never, like I wish I could produce in my own self. I have seen people just become enlightened. And in Paul's life, Saul of Tarsus turns to Paul. In his life, we see this exact example of a conversion time in his life. And the diligence of this conversion, a total commitment, a total surrender. Saul served what he thought was right for the longest of time and with passion. And then he turns around and with that same intensity, he serves God. A bright light blinded Saul at the time. And through that, he met that man Ananias. Saul totally surrendering his heart and his life. He didn't just accept the Lord as his Savior, but he applied the word of God to his life. And he lived it. And it's by his testimony that most of the New Testament was written by this man. Because there was an immediate conversion. Scriptures declare, and straightway he preached Christ. He didn't wait. Brother Jess, he didn't wait. The moment he received his sight, it was an immediate, I am going out and I'm winning souls. This is a real thing in a real time in this real life. And I'm telling you right now, I'm not gonna go through some remedial class. I'm not gonna go through some teaching class. I'm not gonna go through, and I'm not saying you don't have to do that. What I'm saying is immediately his fire was kindled for the gospel of God. And he immediately, straightway, took the gospel and ran with it. As so much so as when it says that straightway he preached in Acts chapter 9, 20 and 21, that the scriptures declare that he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God, But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on the name in Jerusalem and came hither for the intent that he might bring them bound to the chief priest? This same diligence that he served the world, he turned around and he changed that diligence to serve God. And I believe, Sister Kristen, that that is the diligence of our heart is what makes us a servant of God. Because ultimately you're going to find a servant, you're going to find yourself serving something. And you're going to give diligence to whatever it is that you're serving. It doesn't matter if it's Facebook, if it doesn't matter if it's your work, your career, but whatever it is that you do 110% of, you're a servant of. You give your all into whatever it is, and you're that servant. So then it comes to now I have a conversion, now I have a transformation, now I've got to keep, right? I've got to keep that heart. I have to put on the whole armor of God. And in keeping that heart, Solomon describes in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. How necessary is it to keep our heart with all diligence? Again, there's that word. All diligence. Why? Because the heart is deceitful above all things. It's desperately wicked, Jeremiah 17 says. Who can know it? There's a commentary, Adam Clark, he explains the idea of the issue of life in this commentary, and it's a plain illusion that the arteries which carry the blood physically from the heart through the whole body and the utmost extremities, as long as the heart is capable of receiving and propelling the blood, so long life is continued. As long as your heart's pumping, you're living, right? Now, as the heart is the fountain in which the streams of life proceed, care must be taken that the fountain not be stopped or injured. A double watch for its safety must be kept up at all times. So the same thing in spiritual things. The heart is the seat of the Lord of your life and his glory. And it streams spiritual life through our bodies. It streams that power. And so we have to watch with all diligence that spiritual heart is not injured or doesn't die. So diligence preserves the calling and makes the election sure to guard against failure. It's important to keep our hearts clear from obstacles that would hinder us from full surrender in our service of the Lord. Diligence is key to preserving our relationship. It wakes up our minds to do the will and the work of the Lord. And when we make up our minds to do that will, it's amazing what we accomplish. Sister Kristen, I stand amazed, and I know my wife doesn't like to be made an example of, and I apologize if there's any offense to this, but I'm overjoyed to watch how much you've grown in the Lord because of your diligence, because of your all diligence, and everyone else in the house of God that you've put your all into it, and you've stayed with it, and you've stayed focused. And you've not let little things distract you. Yes, life happens. And we all have to weed through a bunch of stuff in our lives. But you're here on a Sunday morning. Pastor's gone. You know, but you're still here. And I think it's something that the Lord takes note of. Because it's our all diligence. We can live a life that is over and above the reproach of sin. Even as we face the storms of life, we can live in victory knowing that the Lord is with us, and we can live in victory knowing that this is a sin-cursed world and we can live above it. We can live in such a close relationship with God, the Lord will keep us from falling. Jude 24 declares, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. God joys. God joys in our diligence. Diligence is the bridge between the cause and the benefits, between the promise that God gives us and the blessings that he overflows into our life. 2 Peter 1, 4 through 8 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption, giving all diligence. Peter declared that the promises of God were exceedingly great and precious. And he also declared that they pertain unto life and godliness. What great hope awaits us who is diligent in our relationship with God? Diligence is a spiritual development. As an athlete must train and develop his physical strength, so does a Christian must train and develop areas of spiritual understanding and spiritual strength. You find yourself in a place of weakness. Understand where you are and begin to seek out through the Word of God how to strengthen where you are. When something comes against you that you find yourself weak in, God gives us the ability to get strength through his word in this area of our lives. Character is the life of a believer. The life of a believer is set on a hill, Scripture says. The Scriptures reveal that we are shining lights into this world and we cannot hide. If you have the Holy Ghost, there is something different about you when you walk into Walmart. If you are filled with the presence of God, there is something different about you when you go and you sit at the dinner table at a restaurant. Our diligence is evident. It's readily visible to the world. So let us be strong in the Lord and diligent about our character. Your character says something about you. But your character is going to be known by your diligence. Your commitment, the Bible says, but he that lacketh these things is blind. If you lack commitment, you're not diligent. And cannot see afar off and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So, wherefore, make your calling and election sure. Put your diligence into living for God. Peter declared that we must be diligent in our spiritual virtues of our lives as believers. Otherwise, we're going to be blind. We're going to be forgetful of what God's done for us. How easy was it in just a few days, the Israelites leaving Egypt, crossing over the Red Sea in a miraculous stand, watching the pillar of fire by day, or the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And just a few days after seeing something miraculous, they go back to their longing to go back to Egypt, longing to go back to their sinful state. Why? Because this is out of our comfort zone. I'm not comfortable where I'm at. I don't know where I'm going. God says, just give diligence. Give diligence to my plan, and everything's going to be okay. In times of trouble and difficulties, this is going to be a promise in life. No matter where you are, no matter who you are, no matter if you've received the Holy Ghost 50 years or 50 days ago, there's going to be troublesome times that come in your life. And your diligence on living for God is in these times are going to be proven. You're going to be proven, okay. You're going to live diligently for me. There's going to be a tough time that's going to come. Finances, you name it, right? And as long as I'm diligent, Now, as long as I say, you know what, God, no matter what, I'm going to live for you. No matter what. I remember that time whenever I had backslidden. And I finally came a year later. I had come back to my senses. And I said, God, no matter what, I'm going to live for you. I said, if you refill me at this altar with the Holy Ghost, I will live for you for the rest of my life. And unbeknownst to me, that just in a matter of a few weeks after I said that, the amount of it felt like hell on earth came into my life. But you know what? I said, you know what? I've made the promise. I'm living for God. I don't care what happens. And look at where God has, that was 20 years ago. And God has blessed me with a beautiful family. God has blessed, in the very end of all of this, my dad has the Holy Ghost and is in church. He's sick today, but how beautiful a life it is when you diligently live for God. Because I promise, the same trials and tribulations come to my other siblings who are not living for God, and they struggle 100 times worse than I did. And they still struggle. This is just me being transparent. I have family that know the power of the Holy Ghost and have went back to their sinful state, and they still suffer trials and tribulations. But it's harder for them because they don't know where to turn. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. And so the very first thing they do is they call somebody who has the Holy Ghost. Isn't that, I'm telling you from experience, I had a dream that the rapture happened in my sinful state. And the very first thing I did, I got on the phone with my mom as soon as I woke up. Mom, you good? I hadn't heard from you today, so I just figured, well, Colton, it's 6 o'clock in the morning, you're not going to hear from me. Oh, I was just making sure, you know, everything was good. Right? I called somebody who had the Holy Ghost. I know the rapture didn't happen. No pun on all the craziness that's went on this last week. But, you know, we're still here. No man knows the hour or the day. No man knows the hour or the day of the rapture. But until that day, I have to do my due diligence to live for God. So, troublesome times. The notes say it would be wonderful if we could always live at the church, but I disagree with that. I don't think y'all would like me all the time. I know Brother Jerry wouldn't. So, but it is important that we have our fellowship with our brothers and sisters. It is important that we have strengthening. This is a strengthening time for us. So if you see a brother or sister that's in trouble, that's having a struggle, it is my due diligence to help them up and not to keep them down. It is my due diligence to go over there and go, I don't know what you're going through and I don't want to know. But what I do want to know is, how can I pray for you? What can I do to help you? What can I do to strengthen you? What can I do to lift some of the burden off of you? That's what I'm called to do. I'm called to help my brother or sister, not to talk about them and not to help them down, but to bring them up and to say, you know what, no matter what, we go through things in life, and this life is going to call for us to strengthen our brothers and sisters in the times that they're struggling. And we do struggle, every one of us. Say amen. Amen. I was only like 5 of y'all, so the rest of y'all that don't struggle, man, I'm glad y'all don't. So it's important to understand that trouble arises in people's life, and it's not an indicator. I'll repeat this. It is not an indicator of that person's spirituality. Paul was very much in the will of God. And yet he suffered many things, and he wrote about it. And I'm not going to go into that for time's sake. But he wrote about those things throughout Corinthians. So it's vital as a believer that we maintain our relationship with Christ daily, even if we're going through struggles, even if we feel like the world's around us. And I'm getting close to the end. Every believer has a duty to serve God. Paul declared that he had a duty to preach the gospel. Your duty may be teaching. Your duty may be Sunday school. Your duty may be the bus ministry. Your duty may be the music ministry. Your duty may be home Bible studies. Your duty may be the ministry to the men or the women or the senior saints. Whatever your duty is that God has called you to do. But Brent, your duty is to the park and the park ministry. Whatever your duty is, all diligence. Give all diligence and watch what God does. Believers also have a responsibility to be diligent in their financial support. I'm not going to go into that. That's a pastor thing. But do it with a heart of gladness. Do it with a smile on your face. Tithes and offering is biblical. Everybody say amen. Amen. Diligence is our way of life. It should be our lifestyle. The Lord expects his people to be diligent and maintain their relationships and their responsibilities. It is my responsibility to preach the gospel. It is my responsibility to be a witness. It is my responsibility to serve others. As a servant's heartbeat, it is my responsibility to have all diligence in my life, to be a servant of God and to be a servant of you, to help you when you're down, to help strengthen you. There's no greater joy than being in the presence of God. There's no greater joy than serving others. I believe diligence is our reasonable service. That's reasonable. Jude wrote, "Beloved, I give all diligence to write you of the common salvation. It is needful for me to write you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which once delivered unto the saints." We should be diligent about keeping the purity of the gospel of Jesus Christ and in the pressing for advancement in this world. Jude emphasized the importance of contending for the faith. To exhort is a meaning of to urge strongly or to warn earnestly. If there was ever a time in our world, the church needs to exhort. If there was a time in our world, as individuals, we need that exhortation. We need to be warned, and we need to warn others. The message of salvation is the same today as it was in the day of Pentecost. I'll say it again. Today's message is the same as it was on the day of Pentecost. The path to redemption still passes through the necessary elements of repentance, baptism in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Many of the early believers suffered great hardships and loss of life in order to proclaim this precious gospel. And they desired to preserve it for generations to come. We must continue to guard against those who would attempt to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness or deny God himself. Whether we're serving, ruling, exhorting, our hearts must be tender and responsive to the voice of the Lord. We must be diligent in our growth. We must be diligent in our everyday life to God. There must be a renewed call to every believer and every servant to be diligent. It's your duty to all diligence. I'm closing with this. Out of 10 virgins in Matthew, 5 gave their all diligence. The other 5 threw caution to the wind. He's coming. He'll be here by the time our oil runs out. And when the bride came, And when the bridegroom came, five of them had run out of oil because they weren't diligent. Out of 500, approximately 500, and you can stand, I'm closing, 500 people watching the ascension of the Lord and listening to his proclamation of go ye and teach all nations. But before you do this, go tarry in Jerusalem and wait for the promise. Jesus told them as he ascended into heaven for the last time in that day. When he ascended, he told them, go tarry in Jerusalem and wait for the promise. They said over 500 people heard that message. 120 gave all diligence. Where's the other 380? Are you a part of the 120? I ask you tonight, this morning. Altars are open. Are you a part of the 120 that gave their all diligence? Are you a part of the 380? I'm asking you to search your heart this morning. And if there's been any part of your heart that hasn't given all diligence, now's the day. Today's the day. Now is the time. Are you part of the five that has thrown in your past caution to the wind? And just been like, he's going to come and I'm going to be ready. I don't have to always go to the altar. I don't have to always pray. All 10 of them slept. All 10 of them slept. They were all in the same boat. They were all asleep. They were all waiting. They were all doing the exact same thing. But five of them gave their all diligence. Five of them gave just that little bit more. God, I want my all diligence to be a part of my life growing with you. A 120 said, yep, I'm going to go. I'm making that room. I'm making that meeting. I'm going to be there. 380 said, how long are we going to wait? Do we really have to go? I really don't want to go to outreach today. I don't feel like it. I feel like there's other things that are important in my life. And they didn't give their all diligence to God. They gave their all diligence to something, just not God. So where is your all diligence? Where's your duty? And who are you giving it to?
Help me to run farther, go deeper, climb higher than I've ever been before. Help me to do my part with all.
Daily, I want to give my diligence to serve God and to be a servant to people around me, to reach others, to work on my relationship where I'm diligent 100% of the time. Because Brother Sammy, sometimes I just get tired. And then there's days that I don't like people in. But you know what? It's still my duty to give due diligence to the calling that God has put on my life.